Our second scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. These are the words from Scripture that tell us who Christ is, that Jesus is the eternal Word, the source of life. He is the light that darkness can never extinguish. Some 400 years ago, an Anglican priest by the name of George Herbert took these same truths from that and shaped them into a devotional poem. And these three short stanzas I'm going to read you is a reflection of his faith and his hope and longing as he reaches out to Jesus. It goes like this. Come, my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Come, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart that joys in love. Herbert wrote these lines towards the end of his life. And somehow, when you read those things and stop and think about them, you can just feel him reaching out to God, not with fear of death, but with a trust in God's promise. You know, I'm always amazed at the way words can draw us in with an almost hymn-like rhythm, a voice that can, like his, that can speak down to us through the years. I love the symmetry and the quiet flow of well-crafted words. In my mind, words are like a metaphor. Each syllable has its own light. It makes me think of the Christmas Eve service here in our sanctuary. When, if you remember, we lit a candle from the Christ candle, and then we passed the light from candle to candle to candle. And when we were finished, we had a circle of light in a dark sanctuary. It was Christmas. God came and God lived here. Words can paint entire worlds in the mind's eye. They create images. They invoke feelings. They stay with us. Sometimes they stay with us for a lifetime. A single phrase can unlock a memory, something tucked away in the dark corners of your heart. For much of my life, most of what I wrote was geared towards precision, truthful, factual narratives. I was like Joe Friday in the old Dragnet show. The facts, ma'am, just the facts. Police reports really don't leave a lot of room for creativity, and maybe that's why poetry is so appealing now. Poetry does what facts alone can't do. It blends beauty into truth. It helps us to remember. It slows us down. It's not just language. It's a language with music and emotion and rhythm. Edgar Allan Poe once wrote, "I would define poetry of words as rhythmical creation of beauty." There's just something about that rhythm that echoes something deeper, something eternal. Maybe that's why some songs and some poems stay with us. They stay lodged in your mind. We've talked before about earworms, those songs that just seem to play on a loop over and over and over in your head all day long, and it sometimes just drive you nuts. But sometimes earworms do more than just annoy us. They can carry us back. They can take us to a different time and a different place. They can speak to the soul. 2,400 years ago, Plato wrote, "Rhythm and harmony find their way into the inward places of the soul." That's not just philosophy, that's truth. I was thinking, as we were growing up, my two sisters and I, every once in a while we'd be driving down the road with my dad, and we'd be sitting in the back seat, and he's up driving the old Dodge, and something, he'd see something or think of something that would remind him of a poem, and he would promptly recite it to us in the back seat. I can still hear his words to this day. He just loved that poem, Annabel Lee by Edgar Allan Poe. I was a child and she was a child in this kingdom by the sea, but we loved with a love that was more than a love, I and my Annabel Lee. Hearing those lines now just brings back a flood of memories. It's amazing how some things like that just never go away. They're always lurking somewhere in the back of your mind, waiting to be revived. Poets, Whittier, Poe, Browning, and even Plato, when you read their poems, all seem to be reaching out for something just beyond their grasp. They seem to be searching. They seem to be trying to capture beauty or memory or truth. But for all their brilliance, they are just shadows of a much greater voice, the Word that is beyond all words, the Word who was in the beginning and is with us still. But even these shadows can stir the soul. John Greenleaf Whittier wrote a poem in 1856. It's called Maud Muller. It's the story of a young shepherd girl. One day Maud's out working in her hay field, cutting hay. Maud is poor, but strong and marked by a quiet beauty shaped through simple living. And as she's out cutting hay and laboring down the trail rides the judge. He's a man from a whole different world. He's a man from education and status and comfort. Then for just a few minutes, their eyes meet, and in that instant, something stirs in both of them. Whittier writes, Maud Muller, on a summer day, raked the meadow sweet with hay. Beneath her torn hat glowed the wealth of simple beauty and rustic health. And of the judge, Whittier tells us that he was a man of books and men, yet a man of simple tastes. Well, the judge sees Maud, and Maud sees the judge, and they visit for a minute, and each begins to imagine a little different life, one away from the pressures and expectations of their life, something different. The judge imagines, what would life be like without all the pressures and expectations that a judge has, and something quiet and real? And Maud looks at the judge, and she too imagines, what would life be like with ease and security, a life out of hardship? What would it be like to have clean beds and new clothes and a secure future? But the judge rides on, and Maud goes back to work, and the moment is gone. Well, the years pass, and both go on to lead good and respectable lives, but sometimes in quiet moments, each one remembers and wonders what might have been if one of them had spoken. Whittier leaves us with these words, "For of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Like Maud and the judge, Scripture can show us missed moments, defining choices when people stood at a crossroads and then turned away. There's a beauty found in words that doesn't just stir our memory, it revives the soul, and nowhere is that more powerfully seen than in the poetry of Scripture. What Whittier shows us in poetry, Scripture shows us in truth. Life is full of moments that ask something of us, and God is always inviting us to respond before the words, "it might have been," become our story. I suspect that we've all had those moments, moments when something stirs in your memory. You remember a conversation that you didn't have, but you wished you had, a step that you always meant to take, a decision you put off just long enough for the moment to pass. And now, in the quiet hours, you may sometimes find yourself wondering, what might have been? Well, you're not alone. Scripture is filled with people who came to defining moments and walked away. Take the rich young man in Mark chapter 10. He came running to Jesus, asking and hoping to inherit eternal life. And Jesus looked at him with love and said, one thing you lack, go sell all you have and follow me. But the young man couldn't do it. He walked away sorrowful, for he had great wealth. Jesus was offering him a whole new life, but the young man chose the familiar over the faithful, the comfort of possessions over the calling of Christ. Or take Pilate. He had Jesus standing right there in front of him, truth in the flesh. And yet Pilate was afraid of the crowd, and he was afraid of Rome, and he washed his hands of the whole thing. He had the power to stand for truth, but he remained silent. And Peter, bold, passionate Peter, when the moment came, he denied Jesus three times, and when the rooster crowed, he remembered and he wept bitterly. We've all had those moments, maybe not as dramatic, but just as personal. Moments when we sense the Spirit nudging us to speak the truth, to show love, to forgive, to take a risk, to step into the unknown. And we stayed silent, we stayed put, and we let the moment pass. You know, there's a moment like that, and I probably have talked before about it, that sticks out in my mind every time I think about this. We were at a big sheriff's breakfast. The room was crowded with law enforcement and judicial people in the room, a large breakfast. And before they ate breakfast, the guy that was running the meeting said, would someone like to say a prayer before breakfast? Well, boy, the room just went dead silent. I mean, you could have heard a pin drop anywhere. Everybody kind of looked down and waited for someone else to speak. And I remember thinking, I really ought to get up and say something. But I didn't. And to this day, that kind of haunts me. It's a small thing. It really wasn't that big a deal. But it sticks in my mind that I had a chance to thank and praise God in front of people, and I remained quiet. When a moment like that is past, the enemy just loves to whisper in your ear. He says, see, you missed it. Think what might have been. Something important to know. God is not finished with you. The beauty of God's word is not just in its rhythm, it's in the quiet way it brings peace to a troubled heart. Just listen to the poetry of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, that's not just poetic. That's comforting. That's something that's deeply personal. We serve a shepherd who restores souls, a shepherd who seeks the lost sheep, who brings back the one who strayed, who doesn't and won't let our story end with the words, it might have been. Peter, who failed Jesus, is later restored by him. On a quiet beach, Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? And with each yes, Jesus gives him a purpose. Feed my sheep. Failure is not final. Silence is not permanent. And if you're still breathing, God is still writing. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, God makes a promise to Israel. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. I think sometimes we may feel like we've wasted too much time, that our opportunities have passed us by, but God is a redeemer of time. He doesn't just save your soul, He restores your purpose. The beauty of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 speaks to us. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to be silent and a time to speak. For Maud and the judge, that moment to speak came and went. But what about us? Maybe our time to speak is now. Maybe our moment to act is this day, this week, this new year. Maybe God has been stirring something in us, and maybe we've hesitated. Maybe, though, this is our moment to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow. Yes, Lord, I'll forgive. Yes, Lord, I'll try again." Whatever we do, we will not let the life of this church end with the words, "It might have been." The God we serve is a God of new beginnings, of second chances, of fresh starts. Our story does not end with the words, "It might have been," because Jesus did not stay silent. He spoke when silence would have saved him. He went to the cross carrying our fear, our delay, and our regret. And because he did, God can say even now, "Behold, I make all things new." Let me put it this way. As a church, there have been times when we may have faced a Maud Muller moment. We may have stood at a crossroads and chosen the familiar path. We may have stayed silent when we should have spoken. We may have settled for what was safe instead of what was faithful. But God is not finished with us, not even close. There's a better story waiting. One written by a faithful shepherd who restores souls. One penned by a redeemer who gives us beauty for ashes. One whose words are not, "It might have been," but, "Behold, I make all things new." We won't let silence steal the story of First Christian Church Grand Junction. Fear of the unknown won't dictate our future. Elizabeth Barrett Browning once asked this question that has endured down through the ages. "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." And then she answered, "I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight." The beautiful words that she wrote for Robert Browning. But don't they sort of sound like a prayer too? Jesus, how do I love thee? I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. I wonder, can we love like that? With a love that reaches beyond what we can see, beyond comfort, beyond fear, and beyond silence. To love Jesus like that is to trust him when the future is unclear. To love Jesus like that is to speak when he calls us to speak, to step forward when staying silent would be so much easier. May our love for God not be measured by what we might have done, but by how fully we place our lives in his hands, here and now. And then, when that day comes, that final day that we all know will come, and whoever it might be walks out that kitchen door for the last time and shuts the lights off, the words that linger in this church will be simply these: God came, love lived here. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the author of our lives, the one who writes not with ink that fades, but with mercy that endures forever. Today we remember how fragile a moment can be, how easily a word can go unspoken, how quickly a chance can slip away, how quietly a heart can whisper, "It might have been." But we also remember something greater, that you are a God who redeems what we've lost. You restore what the locusts have eaten. You invite us back into the story again and again and again. Lord, we confess the times that we've stayed silent when you nudged us to speak, the times when we've played it safe when you were calling us to be bold, the times we chose comfort over obedience. And yet, here you are, still calling, still restoring, still loving. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for writing a better ending than we could ever imagine. Help us, Lord, to live fully in the moments you give us, to speak truth when it needs to be spoken, to love when it's hard, to forgive when it hurts, and to say yes when you call. Let the words, "it might have been," never be the story of our lives or of this church, but instead may our story be filled with faith, with courage, with beauty, and with you. Creator of all that is beautiful and true, write your poetry in our lives, O Lord. Let your word be the rhythm in our hearts, and your spirit be the breath in our lungs. In Jesus' name, the name of all names, we pray. Amen.